the epistle appointed to be read for this, the second Sunday after Easter, is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, Christ has suffered for us, leaving you an example that you may follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile, when he suffered, did not threaten, but yielded himself to him who judged him unjustly, who himself bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to justice, and by his stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, but the hireling, who is not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches and scatters the sheep, but the hireling flees because he is a hireling and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. Them also I must, another sheep I have that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, for the last 2 weeks, we have been asking Almighty God to grant us a particular favor, that he would bring our monks on their trip there and on the trip back safely in both directions. We have asked, now we have to thank. So please kneel.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
We have today to be very grateful to Almighty God, not only today, but continue to be. It is no small thing for someone to present himself, to prepare himself, to be accepted, and to be given a power that is, as we said a couple of weeks ago, that the Curie of Ars, once upon a time, said, a priest can make a god out of a piece of bread. which is more than creating a world. It is absolutely no small thing for a man to be made into a priest. And by the grace of God, we have two men who have been blessed in this direction. And we must continue to be grateful to God, and we must continue to pray that He will bless them and keep them actively committed always and always to this new blessing. And not only them, but any other man, wherever he may be, who is so dedicated and so blessed. Today, as was in today's gospel, there are a lot of hirelings. We do not know who they are. We don't know where they are. We don't care, in a way, in a manner of speaking. But we do hear the message that comes from these hirelings, wherever they are. It is a disquieting message. It is a message that brings not peace of soul. No matter how much they try, if God is not in their word, if God is not in their word, no matter how eloquent, no matter how prepared, no matter what they may try to do, if God is not in their word, God will not touch the ones who are reached by their word. And that, my beloved people, is that. Period. I assure you that these two men are not hirelings. And they will give their lives. They have pledged their lives for their sheep. And they will not run when they see the wolf. Is that clear? We are honored. We are blessed for such a blessing. And I thank Almighty God for such a blessing that He has come to us with. We are living in an age where there is no faith, or hardly any faith. And therefore, if we put our faith aside, then we shall have to suffer the consequences of lack of faith. This morning, after Mass is over, I would like to have each of you come up, as you do for communion. Just line up on the communion rail, as you always do. And each of these two priests, Father Bernard and Father Joseph, will give you their first blessing. And this first blessing is full of indulgences and graces. We have to be people of faith. It is not in how much we know. It is not in how much we teach or preach or yell about, or argue about, or debate about, or whatever else we do about. If God is not in that word, he is not there. I do not care who it is. Even if it be an angel, if he speaks not, if he is not a shepherd, you are not to believe it. We are living in such desperate and dreadful times that we have to be people of the purest, most wonderful faith. Therefore, if you will come up this morning after Mass and receive your blessings from these two men who are now capable and able to bless and to bring God and to make a piece of bread a God. Tomorrow, my beloved people, is the feast of St. Joseph the Worker. It all goes together. We do not know all that God does. We are not capable of knowing what God does. It's none of our business, actually. This much I think it would be safe to say, that after the Blessed Mother, I feel that it would be safe to say that St. Joseph comes very close to that place that is held by the Blessed Mother. And why shouldn't he be? Why shouldn't he be? He protected him who is. He gave protection to him and gave him sustenance and taught him and carried him around in his arms and protected him from harm. Saint Joseph is truly a powerful one in heaven after the Blessed Mother. Go to him. All of you who are worried, or all of us who are worried about this and that and the other, he understands. He's been there. He knows what it's all about. So therefore, go to him and ask him for his protection. And our prayer, a little line, must be occasionally added to our prayer. Maybe put it in a little corner of your prayer book. And as we look about, we speak to the Heavenly Father, and we ask him to protect those of us who labor at the pleasure of his divine Son. This is what you and I have been called to do. To labor, to work, to suffer, to pray at the pleasure of his divine Son. Nothing else matters. Let us not get entangled with the things that do not pertain the salvation of me. Me. Sometimes when we speak of the souls in purgatory, when we speak of my soul might go to purgatory. It's almost as thinking or feeling when I refer to my soul in such a way that it's like something that I'm wearing. And so when I die, I take off the coat and put it in purgatory. It doesn't really affect me, it's my coat that's in purgatory. My beloved people, as I told someone this morning, I think sometimes we make a mistake when we speak of the souls in purgatory. Perhaps it would be easier to keep in mind and to affect us a little bit more definitely to say the people in purgatory. I am my soul. And my soul is me. Understand that? Do you understand that clearly? I am going, hopefully, to purgatory. Each one of you. Each one of you. It is not a thing that goes to purgatory or to hell. Okay? It isn't a thing that I own that goes to hell or to purgatory or to heaven. It is I, the one that's standing in front of you right now. And the only thing about me is what you're looking at. And that's going to be put into a box and gotten out of the way as quickly as possible. That's the thing that is in me. But I am the one that has to make that trip. For good or for bad. And the way I live and what I stand for and what I believe will have every effect on the direction that I am going to take. And nobody at all, and no argument, no debate, no this, no that, no the other, is going to do anything to point out to me the direction that I go. I am the one who has to put one foot in front of the other to take me where I am supposed to go. And this is something that we have to understand, and understand it well. I told you last week, when you get old, you ain't got time to beat around the bush. You come to the point. And I have to decide for myself. My mother can't do it for me, though she can pray. My uncle or Aunt Pity Pat or anybody, nobody, can place my foot. I am the one who places that foot. There are many, many directions in today's bulletin. You can read as well as I can. Please read each one carefully. And what did you have to know that's upcoming? I think every one of them is important. Yeah, I think you can, of course, we know tomorrow, St. Joseph. Read those all very carefully. This morning, I have a joy to talk about. It's going to be embarrassing to the joy. I don't care. So be it. Our beloved Mrs. Iva Roy is today celebrating her 90th birthday. I think it's today. It may be tomorrow. It's tomorrow. I made a mistake in the bulletin. It's tomorrow, May the 1st. This lady is a kind of a special sort of person for a variety of reasons. I won't go into her personality because we all know the personality and the person that she is. And we know the example that she has given and gives. We all know these things because we see her all the time. And please God that we will continue to see her for a long time yet to come. This lady, together with her husband, Paul, saw many years ago the storm clouds that were beginning to form in the horizon. And they had enough get up and go about them to do what normal people are supposed to do when they see black clouds coming out of the horizon. And even with much opposition and much contradiction and much everything that goes with shepherds, these two worked from the very beginning. As soon as they got sight of the clouds, these two worked to protect and to preserve our holy religion. And they did and have, and they've done a magnificent job. And back, I think it is, in 1980, they founded the little chapel in Montgomery, Alabama. They worked hard themselves, hauling, putting up, taking down, hauling, taking up room in their house to house the equipment necessary for Mass on Sundays. A lot of work, and in season and out of season, this went on for years and years. When he died, when Paul died, she continued. These two were instrumental in their own little way, she a lot easier than her husband Paul, because her husband Paul could be very direct sometimes. He knew how to be direct, and he wasn't afraid to do it. And when he had something to say, he said it. They were instrumental, actually, in helping me come to the conclusion of starting this endeavor here in Cullman. I'm grateful to them. We're grateful to them. I'm grateful to her. The people who are so committed today are not very many in number. So pray for her, pray for Paul, pray for anybody, pray for yourselves. You may not be establishing chapels here, there, or wherever. That's unimportant. But what you are trying to do, what we are trying to do, is simply to preserve the little fragment that is left to us to preserve. You, I, and wherever else we may be, others, must be people of faith, strong faith. You must tell yourselves every time, every day, that the reason why you come here, you in this particular locality, is not because you prefer this to this over here. You come here, my beloved people, because you believe. And what do you believe? You believe in that which is up on the little altar up here. Do you want to know what is the target of so much of our shooting today, here, there, and wherever? You want to know? I'll tell you. And who furnishes the ammunition? I'll tell you. The target is the priesthood. That's the target. That's where the confusion is. And that's where we cannot always determine the shepherd from the hireling. Because the hireling, in many cases, wears a very well-made costume. And his words are well selected, because the hireling has a good director. Believe me, the priesthood is what the enemy is after. If he destroys the priesthood, he is destroyed what is on that altar. So my beloved people, we must not be afraid. We must just redouble our effort and our ability to thank Almighty God and to pray and to ask for the blessings that are ours. Thank God. May you always be the part of the apple of his eye. May we pray for us. Pray for our priesthood. Pray for my priesthood. Pray for priests. Wherever the good priests, true priests, wherever they are. And when people go around saying, oh, there's not a priest left on earth, and believe me, there are those who are saying that, and they use all kinds of fancy words to prove their point. But God is not in their word. Beloved people, we must believe. We have a soul to save, our soul. We have me to save. I have to be saved. And no matter whatever else I may accomplish, no matter whatever else I may succeed in doing, no matter how fabulous I may be, if I lose me, I am a failure. That's all that counts. That's all that matters. And that must be the only reason why you and I are in this room right now. And we have to keep this in everything else, all of this foolishness is going around all over the place, all over the place. You want to know something? I'll tell you this and I'll quit. We have a lot of spiritual geniuses going around loose today. Theological technicians. They're all over the place. Pygmy people. They can certainly tell you what has to be done. But you want to know a secret? I'm not judging, and I do not wish to judge. But after listening a little here and a little there and a little wherever else, there's one thing that they don't know, and that is the only thing that matters. They do not comprehend or understand the interior life. And that, the people, is where all of it is. There is no other than that. The interior life. Me. That's me. They have to understand the me, not the thing that they're looking at. They do not comprehend the interior life. That's why they don't preach it. Because they don't understand it. My beloved people, ours is the work. Believe me. Ours is a work. A thing to do that is so glorious that I'm not even going to try to describe it. I'm not capable of describing it. Ours is that work. The salvation of ourselves, the salvation of ourselves, that is our glorious work. Morning, noon, and night. God bless you. God keep you. God preserve you. And pray for us, because we need protection and help and a lot of divine wisdom. We are no better than anybody else. We're struggling just like you are struggling, my beloved people.